Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, your smart speakers, the ESPN app, Mel Kiper Jr., ESPN NFL draft analyst joins us for day three of our mock draft here on this show. Good morning, Mel.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
What's up, Mel?
What up, Mel?
Good to be with you. Good to be with you guys. This is the best. That nobody has three wide receivers on their team like Justin Jefferson, Thielen, and Osborne, but you got you three. So you're rivaling even the Vikings wide receiving core.
Go ahead and talk that talk, Mel. Talk
man,
to you. I know you've reached a certain level of gangsterism in your life when you talk about Duke basketball with Jay Will and SC football with Key, and you do a mock draft, and Mel Kiper Jr. shows up. As I said, Mama, I made it. Okay, look. The draft continues. Let me, should I go? No, let's just pick it up where we are right now, okay? We are at pick number 9. The Seattle Seahawks are on the clock. Mina Kimes with the pick.
With the 9th pick in the KJM mock draft, the Seattle Seahawks take LSU cornerback Derek Stingley Jr. Cornerback's a huge need for them. So is offensive tackle, but I just think Stingley Jr. has all pro potential.
Derek Stingley Jr., cornerback, LSU.
The 6'1", 190 pounds. What is most important? Are you the guy that we saw in 2019 that was shutting down Ja'Marr Chase in practice, that was shutting down Justin Jefferson and Terrace Marshall Jr. in practice? Because that player would be the best corner prospect in this draft and has the potential to be the best corner in the NFL. My questions come when you spent the last 2 years, only 10 games, injuries, those mount. Ability is the best availability. Right now, that's the only question about Stingley.
What do you think, Mel?
Yeah, I think I'm not going to question Mina. Come on. Mina's got it right. I mean, Derek Stingley Jr., Evan Neal, she said offensive tackle, need area, obviously corner. One of those two players will look great in a Seahawk uniform. Stingley Jr., what can you do? You had the COVID year and you had the injury. That's what football is. Unfortunately, guys get hurt. But he's a great talent. He's going to be highly motivated coming in as the 9th pick, not the first, second, or third pick, which we thought he would be. I agree with Mina. I think it's certainly a guy. If he's there at 9, it's either he or Evan Neal, if Evan Neal's still available.
This is certainly an easy pick for the Seattle Seahawks at the cornerback spot. He fits everything that Pete Carroll likes in his corners. Tall, rangy, 6'1", 190 pounds, very fluid. There's only a small sample size of his ability, but do you really need to see more than 10 games of college football to know if a guy can actually play? When you got an eye like Pete Carroll and that defensive staff, I think it fits right at number 9.
All right, time for the 10th pick. The New York Jets are back on the clock. Here's our producer, Evan, with their pick.
And with the 10th pick in the KJM mock draft, the New York Jets select Evan Neal, offensive tackle, Alabama.
Mel, this was an easy one,
right? Evan Neal, offensive tackle, Alabama.
Offers a lot of upside in terms of physical traits. Bruce Feldman's number one freak in the country on his freak list, you know, ideal measurements, all that kind of stuff. And his pass protection is very clean and he's very fluid. That's the guy that I would probably lean as the best tackle in the draft.
So
let me ask you this, Max. Who was a four? Who did the Jets pick at 4 in this mock?
I have to go back.
Sauce Gardner.
It was Sauce.
Okay.
Sauce.
Okay.
Sauce
Gardner.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Sauce.
Right.
Sauce would
and
mean,
Evan Neal. Look at
Sauce
that.
Sauce to me would be mesh with 10 by taking a receiver. And Drake London's gone. Garrett Wilson's still there. I think they would go Wilson over Neal. They have Fant. They have Becton. They added Tomlinson with Vera Tucker. They need a center. They got to get receiving weapons for Zach Wilson. They got to get a receiver in this draft. And I think if Drake London's there, he would be ideal. Obviously, if Garrett Wilson's there, he would make sense as well. Both are right there at the top of the board at wide receiver. So I think even though Neal would be tough to pass up, I think they would go Garrett Wilson at that point.
I think in terms of what they're looking at, the offensive line is probably not their top need. The wide receiver position will be the top need with a Garrett Wilson. Much like Mel said, Drake London would be my favorite red zone target for them, but he went to Atlanta at the 8 or 9 spot. So now you look at what's left on the board at the receiver position. You don't want to take Jamison Williams from Alabama because of the injury. So now you fall to Garrett Wilson. You know he can play. He can fit right into the system with Zach Wilson. You have some speed to burn now. That's the best thing going.
Man, I... Time for the 11th pick. Washington Commanders are on the clock, and Mark in Houston is ready with a pick.
All right, with the 11th overall pick for the KJM mock draft, the Washington Commanders select Kyle Hamilton. I think they're just going to pick him because we got a defensive mind surrounding all aspects of the coaching level. So I know they're going with him. They're not going for a receiver.
Kyle Hamilton, safety, Notre Dame.
Yes, he had an injury cut into about half of his season this past year. I just love Hamilton's game. And I think the fact that they could bring him in with his length and his range and his ball skills, the production he's had with interceptions and passes batted down over the last few years at Notre Dame, he would be a great matchup counter, if you will, for some of those guys in the middle.
Guys, does anybody, and I'll ask Key, does anybody care what your 40 time is once you're in the league and you're playing? Does anybody ever ask you, Key, what you're in? Nobody cares. Okay, it's how you play. Do you play fast? Do you play a little slower than your time? A lot of guys do. And I think when you look at Kyle Hamilton, nobody's ever questioned when he was playing at Notre Dame how fast he was. Now they're looking at that 4-6 saying, whoa, we got to move him down. I think it's ridiculous that he's there at 11. If he is, that's a great pick for Washington.
If he's sitting at 11, he replaces Landon Collins, somebody that they allowed to walk out the building. It's a perfect pick for them. Big, tall, long-rangey. They haven't had a safety that fits this ideal size since the late Sean Taylor. So it certainly falls exactly where you want with Jack Del Rio on the defensive side of the ball and a head coach in Ron Rivera who loves defensive players. I like it if he falls that far.
And now the Minnesota Vikings are on the clock with the 12th pick. Here's Phil Mackey from Score North with the pick.
With the 12th overall pick in the 2022 KJM NFL mock, the Minnesota Vikings select wide receiver Garrett Wilson from Ohio State.
Garrett Wilson, wide receiver, Ohio State.
The Ohio State receivers. I've got Garrett Wilson as my number two receiver. Chris Olave is my number three. Those guys were outstanding. We knew going in that Olave was a burner, and he ran a 4.39. Garrett Wilson came out and ran a 4.38. To me, that cements Wilson as at least the number two receiver in this draft.
Couple things to unpack here, guys. First of all, will he be there? And I don't think he will. If he is, it's a luxury pick. It's based on the fact that he's the best available player on our board. We got to take him. KJ Osborne had a phenomenal year. Adam Thielen, you got Justin Jefferson, the great Justin Jefferson. You go three deep. I mentioned that earlier when we started the show. You go three deep here. And if you take Garrett Wilson, it is that luxury pick. But Derek Stingley Jr. is gone. Obviously, Sauce Gardner is gone. Do you take Trent McDuffie, the third best corner in this draft, or do you take Garrett Wilson, the best receiver, even though you already have three that are really good for Kirk Cousins? So I agree on the best available player being Garrett Wilson, but the luxury pick thing is Stingley there. Stingley's there. You take Stingley. But in this mock, Stingley's gone. So I have no issue with the best available player going to Minnesota, and that's no question at this stage at 12, it would be Garrett Wilson.
I think you take the best available player. You look at Adam Thielen. He's getting up there in age. Mm-hmm. Garrett Wilson makes sense. Yes, Osborne is doing great. Jefferson did great. But if you can move on from Thielen in that salary because he is a little bit older in age now and you want to get younger at that position, Garrett Wilson certainly could be in the mix. Three deep, four deep for a little bit. But at some point, you've got to make a decision on Adam Thielen long term.
So there you have it. That is the mock draft for today. We do four selections a day. We are up to 13. That's tomorrow. We do 13, 14, 15, and 16. Jay, you got a question for Mel?
Yeah. Great, great. I'm glad we got through the draft. Mel.
What you got, Jay?
Here's the situation.
What's up with my Giants?
Here's the situation. Yesterday, an autograph signer comes up to me. My back is to him. I'm at the bar trying to order a cocktail for Keyshawn. Because obviously I work for Keyshawn when we go to these events. I bring him cocktails. And the man put his hand, the palm of his hand, on the lower small part of my back.
Is it like this? Like, kind of like this?
Yeah, you can't really see what Evan's doing right now because we're not even on TV. It's weird. There's no even visual to see people. Anyway. See, that's what happens, Mel. I get flustered. I get flabbergasted. The guy put his hand on my lower back and said, Jay. And how would you react to that?
It's never happened
to me before,
Jay.
Arsenio Hall, dark, like deep Jay. Please tell me how you – give me some advice on how you would react to that.
I really – until you're in that situation, Jay, I can't tell you how I would react. I don't know. I've never had it happen. I've never been in that situation before.
Well, I got to say – it's very rare and uncommon.
I'm looking at Jay now on the monitor, and there's something about the small of his back. It just makes me want to put my hand on it, like Evan and the guy from yesterday. I don't know how Key is resisting right now.
Believe it. Nobody's ever going to do that to me.
See? Because you're saying I have the look of somebody that feels like they can violate me. That's what you're saying. That's what I look like, Mel.
No, I didn't. Max,
see, Mel,
that.
This is what happens.
That was Max, by the way.
So this is what happens, Mel. This is what my ass does. You know, Key, every time Key has a question, I get on Google real quick. I need to find answers. Well, so I looked up the 25 reasons why men touch the small of your back.
Oh, you know what? There's a million questions I'll get this time of the year, Jay.
You need to read that.
I've never got that before.
Mel, okay, he needs to read that to know why you're a man. Why would you touch the small of someone's back?
Because he's nice looking and he's very, right, you know,
no, Key, I don't want to hear about my hips and the small of my back.
He's got a nice looking lower back. You know what I mean? And what can you do?
Yeah, he's athletic looking and that's okay.
I'm done.
You should be flattered that somebody was interested in getting your autograph. You should be flattered.
So what we're telling everybody, Mel, today is when you leave the show, watch your back.
Yeah, and by the way, Jay.
Just watch your back.
Eat pumpkin pie like me. You don't have to worry about that.
There is no small of the back, just the large of the back. Well,
they're finding that.
No, the more pie you eat, the more sweet you are. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know about that.
Not like that. That came out wrong. Jeez,
hey, Big Shay would not agree with that, by the way.
I'm done.
Mel, thank you for giving us a wonderful mock draft.
I never know what the heck I'm going to ask on this show, boy. One for the books.
Mel Kiper Jr., ladies and gentlemen.
I'll be talking to you later, Max.
Thank you, Mel. Yeah, that's right. I'll be talking to Mel later on today on This Just In. 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN.
Handsome hosts.
Handsome hosts.
With a soft, small back.
Oh, no, I think 13th at number 13, someone's going to draft the small of Jay's back tomorrow. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Have a great day, bud.
On ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's get back to some NBA.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
You know, I think our intensity dropped a little bit in the second half.
This comes down to coaching. So many people around the league have talked about Steve Nash's inability for in-game adjusting. And we saw that in their offense so many times in the second half.
Wait, hold on, Max, before we move on to the NBA, Mel Kiper destroyed Evan's pick with the Jets. He just shredded it and poo-pooed it, and Evan didn't even get a chance to say anything.
I feel so like I know nothing about the NFL. When Mel Kiper Jr. destroys your pick in the mock draft, there is no worse feeling.
But I got to tell you, I disagree.
The best is that we're looking at you.
I disagree.
Max
said,
the best is that we're looking at Evan. Evan's face while he was going through the pick. Like, he was so happy to be telling everybody why they were making the pick they were making.
Evan,
I'm
with you. They got offensive linemen, though.
Yeah, I know, but Key, you can't have enough. You have, like, Evan just, taking Neil.
It's not true.
Evan put together a ridiculous offensive line. You get a receiver in the second round, like your nephew. All the best receivers are in the second round nowadays.
Hold on. A, correct. You can get a Terry McLaurin in the third round. You can get a Deebo Samuel in the second round. You can get an A.J. Brown in the second round. The New York Jets, while they have George Fant and they have Becton, like, I'm not sold that Becton's just going to come back and be the guy, right? And they have to pay George Fant after this season. Evan Neal, at a point during this draft process, was the number one pick in some mock drafts.
You got to take him.
Like, you're either available at 10, you've got to take the value there. And then it gives you flexibility in case Mekhi Becton doesn't come back and perform well, in case he's not in shape, in case he doesn't pan out. And then George Fant, if you got to pay him after this season, you got to let him walk, you can trade him. And look at all the wide receivers that are available in the trade market right now. AJ
exactly.
Brown,
bingo,
Metcalf,
bingo,
Deebo
bingo.
Samuel. I can give
they
up
all
two
got the same agent. They're using it for leverage for money. On top of that, the Jets' needs are way more than an offensive lineman. They need secondary help. They need a big-time wide receiver. Yes, you can get a guy in the second or third round. Yes, you can. Maybe you don't, though. You would rather have a guy that you know is going to pan out rather than, I can get a guy in the second round, because that's just it's happening that way.
My
it doesn't
philosophy
work all the
of
time.
Team building, I don't know anything. Okay, but I do. This is what I would do. I'd have five All-Pros on my O-line. I would have three starters backing them up who are versatile. Like, I don't think you can be deep and great enough there because everything to me comes off that.
The Dallas Cowboys did that, and they're in the same position you in, Max.
Well, that's true, but they had a great offensive line. They should have done better than they did. They also had weapons and all kinds of stuff. Look, we were just about to talk Nets, which is convenient since Evan got dunked on by Mel Kiper Jr. So let's do that. And by the way, I'm with Evan on this one. I take Neil, of course. Evan Neil, if he's available,
well, Max, no, you know why, right? Huh. Because we as Giant fans, we're looking for any help on offensive
no
line. So that
doubt
translates to every team. Every no team needs help on the line.
Evan made a good argument though. If the guy who could have been drafted number one is sitting there at 10, and it's an offensive lineman, you could look. Who's the best player in the world right now? That's what I want to know. Coming in, like, LeBron was undisputed best player in the world for like a decade. Then it's like, oh, the title might be vacant. This guy has that strap. This guy has that belt. But no one's undisputed, right? Like LeBron, oh, KD looked like he was going to be the guy when he very nearly beat the Bucks single-handedly. And then Giannis threw his hat in the ring when he won finals MVP, a 50-piece in game six, right? And Embiid went crazy this year, the whole thing. Jay, who's the best player in the world? Best basketball player honor. I don't care about Jokic and his regular season MVP. I'm talking about best player in the world.
He'd probably have to go Giannis, right? I mean, the most dominant player in the world, doesn't a dominant translate to best? And I know as a hooper, I'm always going to look at, you know, who's the most skilled player in the world. And I would still say that's KD. But, I mean, the dominance that he has is different for Giannis, right? Even though last night they had a loss, and we'll find out more as this race for best player in the world continues, Max, which is fluid, because now not having Chris Middleton – and not having Bobby Portis, okay, Giannis, it's time to go next level. Like, now we get to see you carry your team, right, against a team that's actually in a great position to potentially win the series now in Chicago.
Jay. So, like, carry your team, such as a guy hitting a game-winning shot in overtime, or is that not good enough for you? No love for Joel Embiid. We're just going straight to Giannis.
This is the first year I've seen Joel Embiid be healthy the whole year.
Most of the year.
What?
The whole year.
But, Jay, what would you say at this moment, I hear what you're saying. Giannis has been finals MVP. No, I get it. You can make a very, very strong case for Giannis. Let's talk about who the contenders are. KD, who seems to be losing his grip on the title, right? Giannis, who seems to be ascending. And I think Embiid is the other guy in that conversation, right? Isn't Embiid right there?
KD had two bad games, man.
Yeah,
you can't just start deciding to throw him away because he had two bad games.
No, it's not that, Key. It's not just two bad games, but he's got Kyrie with him, and at this moment it doesn't look good for them in round one. After falling apart last year because of injury, we see he can't defend the way he used to since the Achilles. Like, it's a bunch of stuff. I'm not saying KD's out of the picture. I named his name first among candidates, right? I'm saying there's him, there's Giannis. And I think,
Embiid's in the conversation. I mean, for best player in the game.
Yeah. You know what's crazy, Jay? Key? When was the last time a back-to-the-basket dude, like Embiid can play a lot of different ways, but also back-to-the-basket. He could play center in any era. When was the last time a wide-body, big, 7 feet, 270, 80, whatever it is, has been not only an MVP-level player in the regular season, but also dominated in the playoffs? You got to go back to Shaq.
Well, you would have to go all the way back to Shaq, though, for that. Because the game has changed so much. The bigs have kind of got pushed aside for several years.
Yo, and Max, I'm going to say this. I know those three are in the conversation. I'm not leaving LeBron James
out of this conversation. No doubt. I'm with you.
I know,
LeBron,
but it's
right
like
there.
You know, we're talking about these three battling. But, I mean, that dude at 37 years old averaged 30 this year.
Come on.
Like, you
LeBron's
know,
right
combating, fighting for the scoring title.
And I know Kyrie didn't play a full season, and he struggled this last game. You can't leave him out either.
I'm not being a Kyrie Irving apologist, but I'm saying, but for what I'm about to say, but when you see the dude scarfing down a banana and other food because it's Ramadan, he hasn't eaten. Like, I don't know how you could play Yates. Come on here and talk to us. I don't know how that dude dropped 39. Not eating all day.
Oh, so when he dropped the 39, he didn't eat?
No, same as Ramadan.
Yeah, Ramadan. Oh, okay. Ramadan. Oh, yeah,
so he's not eating from sunrise to sunset.
You know, it's a refresher of the mind as well as the body. So, you know, sometimes you might be mentally ready to go, but physically you might not be able to do it. So
I know. I mean, Olajuwon did it and you know, was dropping all kinds of stuff on everyone's head. I would say this about Kyrie, guys. Kyrie is the next thing to the best player in the world. He's simply height deficient. We're talking about guys who can ball who are 6'8" to 7 feet. So it's not that his skills aren't there.
I don't see him being height deficient because his package makes him like a big.
He scored 10 points last selection, night, man.
Max, I'm not taking one. The dude just had 39 the game before and hasn't eaten during Ramadan.
I ain't doing that.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm not going to go and be saying anything polarizing because the dude had one bad game.
Well, I can't do that.
Come on, man.
I don't think it's polarizing.
We're not going to be that. We're not going to be that.
Listen, I get it. I get it. It's still choices he's making, and sometimes personal choices can affect you professionally. The bottom line is, in a game the Nets really had to have, after getting
talking about Max.
I'm not talking about we're talking about on the court.
We're talking about on the court,
hooping,
dog.
Man. I'm not talking about what you do off the court.
Well, no, you just were talking about how Ramadan fasting can maybe affect you physically. I totally agree. I brought that up earlier.
It affects your energy level to a degree, and he went out and dropped 39 points. For him to be able to do that in back-to-back games, it would be amazing because I couldn't go play a football game if I didn't eat.
No doubt.
There's no way in hell if I didn't have something in my stomach, I'd get a headache, start seeing white spots and all sorts of stuff. I've tried to just work out without eating before and damn near passed out. You know the white spots when you get them, Jay? You start seeing the white spots?
I brought this up earlier about it. I give him credit for it. Wait a minute. The point I was making is that if you make a personal choice in your life to do something that may affect you professionally, as amazing a physical feat as it must be to drop 39, if you then come out and drop 10 and your team loses and wastes a 17-point lead and the playoffs are dependent on it in the first round, that does affect how we think about you as a player. Right? Like, in the end, that's going down in history this way. Now, if Kyrie comes out, balls out of control, and they win this series, which could still happen, I'll say something else. But at this moment, it doesn't look good. Am I wrong?
Game one was in the middle of the day, though, Max.
Yeah.
It was in the middle of the day. So it was much closer to game two. I'm saying it right. It was much closer to game two. So his energy level was different, was way different.
Especially when it's at the end of the day, man. Like you're on fumes, Max. So I hear what your point is saying, but I'm talking about what I see on the court, and I know what I see on the court, regardless of whether this dude had 10 points or not in this one game.
He got to be in that conversation.
Got to be in
the conversation.
Well, now we're ranking.
We're in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If he would have gave me a whole full season, he might have been one.
Okay.
That's he didn't give me a full season. So he's in the conversation because he didn't give me what did he give us, 25 games?
But to me, it's kind of like a season where Chris Paul is in the MVP conversation, but you would never put him one. I'm saying Embiid might be one, LeBron might be one, KD, Giannis might be one. I wouldn't have Kyrie number one best player in the world, but maybe you guys do or possibly could. Will Jay Wright be the next coach of the Lakers? One person thinks so.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Kerry Kittles, former Villanova and Nets guard with us now.
Villanova legend Jay Wright retires. What do you even make of that?
I mean, he's accomplished everything in college basketball for the most part. He's in the Hall of Fame now. What's the next challenge? L.A. for Jay Wright at this point makes a lot of sense.
I tried to tell Mr. Williams, and they poo-pooed me. How could you be so naive and blind? You played the game and you saw this.
Kerry, now that you said it.
It just makes sense, Dave.
Guys, a whole
Let's
lot.
Let's go, Lakers.
Damn, listen.
Blew my mind.
Keyshawn, Jay Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Jay, Key, what do we say about poo-pooing each other? We shouldn't be poo-pooing each other. All right.
Yes.
Quentin Richardson is with us now. Q Rich, former NBA player for many years, of course. Good morning, first of all. Did you hear that sound coming in?
I did. Morning, fellas. Appreciate you having me. I heard it.
What do you think? You think, Key was trying to say, listen, the guys don't just step down. I kind of agreed with that. Jay was a little cynical, skeptical. What do you think about this entire situation? Q Rich.
I'm not sure. I mean, I kind of agree with what Kerry said as far as, like, he's pretty much accomplished everything in college basketball. So, I mean, you know, what's next for him? As far as him going to the Lakers, I don't know. I don't know if that's the first stop you want to make on the other side with everything that they got going on right now. Because, I mean, you know, that's a situation where whoever steps in that seat, and I'm not saying that Jay Wright doesn't, I don't know how much respect he'll command from those pros over there. And, you know, how it is, guys, a college coach coming in to the NBA from college, that could go a lot of different ways. So I'm unsure about how that would look or work out.
Q, that's why I told Key, I'm like, you know, when Kerry was on, he talked about, well, if Jay Wright gets autonomy, I'm like, well, that's the operative word right there, autonomy. Like, how do you know you're going to get that considering you have so many cooks in the kitchen, man?
Yeah, that's why I say, I mean, a guy like him who's done so much on the college level and, you know, wherever he goes, I feel he should get a good shot of a clean slate. And I don't know, that's what's waiting in L.A. I mean, you know, you got LeBron, AD, possibly Russ, and then just everything that's already happened. He's coming into a situation where his back is already against the wall.
Q Rich, I want to get into the Nets and Kevin Durant. So last night he has 27 points. He has 18 of those points from the free throw line. But let's be you and I talk real hoop. He got strapped up, man. Second game in a row. What are you seeing Boston doing in order to hinder KD?
What they're doing, they're sending size and length at him, and they're trying to be as physical as possible. But even when they're not, you know, trying to get into him and bump him and give him physicality every turn. Like, they have length on him, man. Those guys, Al Horford, Theis, Tatum, Brown, you know, and then when you don't have that height and length, you have Marcus Smart, one of those guys trying to get up under him. And so he's getting a lot of different looks, and he's not getting a steady diet or anything to where he could kind of get comfortable and try and figure things out. They doing a great job of mixing it up on him. Even when they do get fouls on them, they seem to be like good, hard, frustrating type fouls that were good used fouls. It's not like he's making them get, like, they're getting fouls on their own terms, I feel like.
You, Rich, so that's coaching, right? Like, Udoka is like, it's been a coaching mismatch, it seems to me. What you just said, a lot of different looks, doing different things, you know, not just here's the ball, go out and play, right? Like, isn't that coaching?
Uh-huh. No, I think that's absolutely a game plan that's being set in place. But the way that they're out there trying to defend KD, that's absolutely a strategy that they've gone over, and they came into this series with a game plan that this is what we're going to do. And right now it's been working unbelievably well.
You know, Q, I don't think it'll, you know, now you got 2 days off. to go back, look at the game, look at the film, understand, get a little better understanding of what it is when they're blitzing you, coming from weak side help, all the different things. Kyrie now, in my opinion, has to bring his game bring his game to Brooklyn with him and not leave it back in Boston. Will that ease up the things that they're doing to KD?
The only thing that I'm not worried about Kyrie bringing his game. Or he gonna have that. That his game travels wherever. But my thing is, I felt like even last night watching the game, I felt like when they were doing, you know, they were doing a solid job. Like Jay said, they were defending KD well, and I felt like they have lapses where Kyrie don't touch the ball. He just going down and he's standing in the corner doing something like that's Kyrie Irving. If they doing a great job defending KD, get that man the ball and let him do it. That's how I was feeling a couple times. To me, it became too many possessions up and down the court. Well, I'm seeing Kyrie standing in the corner like he me, a spot-up shooter. So I'm like, nah, that's Kyrie. If they gonna double and do all of these things with KD, then get that man the ball and let him take everybody to school until we can get KD off.
So if that's
Q not – Rich, I'm telling you, brother, Steve Nash ain't it, man. Like, I'm watching it, and I love Steve Nash. I got a lot of love for the two-time MVP. Like, you're just watching Ime Udoka and the adjustments, man. Like, even what he was doing with Marcus Smart, moving him off the ball and different things. Like, those slight changes are things that just become so much more prevalent when you're watching the game and things get tense. And you want to see those counters made for other counters, and it's not happening. It's not happening.
No, I mean, like you say, when you talk about the things that Ime is doing defensively, I've not seen – for two games, KD be defended this way. Yeah, and he spoke to it. He was honest about it. Like, they're doing a good job. Like, I love the fact that he didn't try and, you know, make an excuse or do anything like that. And I also feel that he's going to get back to Brooklyn and things will change. And he's going to find his game. But, I mean, I love the fact that he didn't shy away. And he was honest. Like, hey, they did a great job. And not taking nothing away from him. Like, you know, obviously he missed some of his shots that he could make in the first game that were open. But he was honest saying that, hey, they're doing a good job defensively because they are.
So, Curious, before we let you go, we were having a conversation before about who we think the best player in the world is right now. Seeing what's happening to KD over the last two games, I think that's still a small sample size. Giannis, Joel Embiid in this conversation. Who would you have as the best player in basketball?
Kevin Durant.
Well, like, that's definitive.
I feel like if he played a full season, he's the MVP.
That's definitive. Q Rich, I'm with you. I think if I had to, I'd say KD is the best, right? But if you're the best player in the world and you're playing with Kyrie, even when you have a deficient coach, you can't get caught ball watching to lose a game on the road and then let a 17-point lead disappear. Like, he's got to, and he's even said it, he's got to step up and get you one now, right? Like, this is it right now.
That's everything you said is true. And just like you said, even though he's the best, things happen. That still don't make me change my mind because I know very well that he could come these next two games and put 40 on him and it's 2-2 and then everybody right back saying, oh, yeah, KD's the best. We know how this is. Well, everybody got shows. Y'all got a show every day, so we got to come up with headlines and stuff. But let's not get it twisted. Let's not, you know, lose sight of the real deal here. This is two games. That's still the baddest man walking. For real.
He was too much almost for the whole Bucks team last year in the playoffs. Just by himself. KD is something else, boy. He's got to get it going. Q Rich.
And the other thing I think, well, we gotta give Tatum some love, man.
No
young
doubt.
Young boy is he announcing, like I heard what he told Joel Embiid, you better get yours now because it's mine next year, and he's showing that.
No question. Uh-huh. Can you be the best player on a championship team? Now's the time to do it, and Tatum is stepping up. That's Q Rich, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate you.
Yes, boy, sir, fellas. Appreciate it. Anytime.
Thank you.
We are presented by Progressive Insurance here on Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max. Why Jay was shook after something that happened to him yesterday. Key, you're supposed to have his back, man. It's messed up.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, the podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. Guys, you seen this picture? You seen Drake leaving the court with Embiid? You guys see that?
Yeah,
I saw him laughing with it, and then I was wondering because you know when you see pictures like screen grabs on the internet, you're like, man, come on, Drake, like you rep Toronto, like don't be hanging out with Joel Embiid. But then when you see the video of what Joel actually says to him, it's some next level stuff.
Yeah, Joel just letting him know we getting ready to bring out that broom on you.
Oof. Drake almost reminds me of like a Don King back in the day. Guys would enter the ring with one fighter, and then whoever won, he'd leave the ring with that guy.
Yo, he'd be entering the ring with some different things now.
Who?
Yeah, he's interesting.
Drake. Yeah, yeah.
When he comes to the day, I'm like, yeah.
He enters the ring with some world champs.
Yeah. He's an interesting dude, though, man. Like, he would get on my nerves if I was the opponent. He would really get on my nerves.
Why?
All the clapping and miss. Because, first of all, you're not like that. Yeah, your music is good, but you ain't playing on this court. Like, he one of them fans that just would irritate me.
Would Spike Lee get on your nerves like that?
Probably not. Well, see.
Yeah, like back in the day.
Yeah, probably.
Jack Nicholson?
No, because Jack ain't out there. Jack ain't out there talking trash.
He's not barking. Right.
He's just clapping and being a fan, as opposed to trying to talk trash to the other team. Yeah, Drake be out there just yapping.
Drake be calling people bum asses.
Yeah,
and things
how you
like
gonna
that
call
to
somebody
face?
A bum? Like, man, if you don't sit down somewhere, man, please.
Just don't make him write a song about me. You.
Yeah, right. But the best Max is during the summer in New York. You should see all the guys, like all the big rappers, come and they work out.
Yep.
You know, in New York, and they're getting shots up, and all these guys making all these viral videos. So now everybody feels like they can really hoop. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Like J. Cole can really hoop.
He can play basketball.
He's accepted in the basketball community. Like, Drake knows everybody.
But he's the abandoned.
But Drake can't play no basketball. Play basketball. I don't give a damn how big his basketball court is at home. He can't play basketball.
That's a dope crib, though. He got up OVO.
Yeah, I understand. Hey,
Max,
I get it.
Max, you and Key got come up with me to OVO weekend. Y'all don't even know what that is. It's the weekend before Carabana. Oh, my goodness.
No,
my
I don't
goodness.
Need to go to that. Yeah. No.
Oh, my goodness.
That's not funny.
It's a basketball weekend, Key. You'll like it. OVO weekend.
You're not going, Key?
Okay. You're trying to get me in trouble.
No. I'm going to watch basketball. Oh, Yates is coming.
I'm there. I was at the last one.
How come I didn't get invited?
Yeah. Because you yelled at me.
Officer Costello.
Officer Costello.
That's got to hurt.
Because, Pat, your mom is a teacher of teachers. That's why.
It's just he didn't really have a reason other than Pat. Oh, that's got a smart, Pat. It's got a sting. We're back in 10 seconds.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click, Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Key and I are having a great time. We're with Waddle and Sylvie. So we had an autograph guy. I felt this man's hand on the lower soft part of my back.
What are you talking about, lower soft part?
The small of... I've never been touched that place before by anybody.
I'm very, but very
Key,
good
he
at...
He grabbed me with the whole palm, though, Key. Right. The whole palm of his hand.
Yeah.
Grabbed the small part of my... It was awkward. I don't know why I don't know why I describe my lower back as soft. That's weird. Yeah.
Yeah, the soft part of your back.
Mr. Williams.
Stop. What
about your love handles?
Hi, Mr. Williams. Can you sign this?
Oh, you got to stop that. That's a real creep voice, man. You got to stop that.
The dude was a creepy follow me and Evan around for 30 minutes.
Did he sound like that for real?
But this is what was messed up about it, Max.
I didn't talk to him.
Evan was by Keyside the whole damn night.
Yep.
Evan, nowhere to be found with me.
Well, you didn't get drafted security, number one overall by the Jets. You know, I mean, like, that's your problem.
Yeah. I see it.
But he would have followed Yao Ming around.
No, you guys. You got. Ooh.
Ooh.
No, it's not where he was drafted. It's that it was to the Jets. That's the whole thing.
No, Evan didn't follow me around. I threw the dude on Evan.
I know, it sounds like
dude, because I went to the restroom.
You threw the dude on Evan?
No, your dude.
Wherever he is, Evan will follow him around.
I was headed to the restroom, and I saw the dude, Max, and I'm like, okay, here we go. I can see him with the bag and everything, the merchandise hanging out, the memorabilia, and I'm like.
Just all sweaty.
I could just see, gross, and I could see him. I periffed him, and then I just faked him out. I faked him out with a pump fake, and I went around.
Yeah.
To the two hole, and then all of a sudden I went up the stairs and he was following. And I was like, he's like, can you sign this, Mr. Johnson? And I was like, no, see this guy right here, man. They running this whole thing. They won't let me sign anything for anybody or nothing. I just kept walking, and then Evan blocked him off. Jay was over there cocktailing and cheesing and smiling, kissing babies, and he went and caught up with him.
May I ask where Evan is right now? Where's Evan right now?
Where is Evan?
Evan is in the studio.
Yeah.
Working right now.
He went downstairs.
Making sure no one's touching Key's bed.
Sitting right next to Keyshawn?
Is he sitting to your right, Key?
Man, I don't need to stop, right, man.
Max, you know what I realized? Key has a magical trait. Mm-hmm. Key, you could be right next to Key, and Key act like you ain't even there. Like, people be behind him, like Mr. Johnson with the autograph joint, and he be hearing him, but he be staying in this conversation like he don't hear him.
Absolutely.
He's a mastermind. I can't do that. I'm like,
it's very disturbing when people interrupt you in the middle of a conversation. It is the worst thing ever. Don't you see me having a conversation? Like, you don't need to keep tapping me. I'm talking to someone.
I am in the middle of a conversation. Key, I think the big takeaway here is that, and the fans should know this, anyone who's listening to us, Jay really loves it. If you see him in public, go
Max,
put your hand on his back.
Max,
the small of his back.
Max. We're going to fight, Max.
Is how he, we're going to fight. It's how he responds to people.
So
if Jay is not talking to you or paying attention to you, a little
touch
gentle pressure on the small of his back.
Yo,
and he will hop
to attention.
I'm not on your team, man.
And the thing is, I'm so nice to the autograph seekers, and I take pictures, and I smile and everything, Jay.
Yeah.
But when I'm engaged in a deep conversation, don't harass me. Go harass Jay. He's open. He's ready to go.
Whoa. What is happening here?
He's ready to go.
This is why I don't mess with any of y'all.
Go harass
man.
Jay. Is the,
let a man put his hand on the lower small of my back again.
The fact that you didn't.
Watch what happens.
The fact that you didn't say, hey, man, why are you touching me? I mean, that's inviting.
I turned around. He was in the face.
It's inviting.
Jay, you hear how West Coast he just got?
I'm coming off COVID. I don't know what's happening.
No, you got to
breathe on me.
It
smells like coffee from 5 in the morning.
You tell somebody. You say, hey, man, are you trying to get by? No, you just say, you trying to get by? You touching on me and stuff. I've had one of these deals.
Don't put your hands on me.
I've been in line before, Max. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was somewhere in line. And the dude was like right up on my shoulder. I had to turn around and say, hey, man.
Well, you know.
Back up.
Max, does this ever happen to you when people, like, they feel like they know you? And I get that. But they touch you. It's like the quick.
All the time.
The shoulder grab. Like, hey. Like,
all
yo,
the time.
Man.
No, they should. You shouldn't put your hands on other people, by the way.
Don't touch me.
We also are hopefully
COVID
coming out of a pandemic. Like, really, don't put your hands on strangers and stuff.
I must have used five bottles of sanitizer yesterday. Oh, man.
We got into the cars and we started taking a bath.
Exactly. I said, I ought to put it on my feet.
Max, I wish you were there because knowing you and the way you deal with germs, oh, this would be classic to watch. The facial expressions you would make, it would be the
You know, guys,
I tried to fist bump at least every time, but then at some point it just didn't.
They're relentless.
Yeah,
with the open
even
like,
before COVID, I didn't like shaking hands just because, especially if you, let's say I'm in a fight and there are thousands of people there, you wind up shaking hundreds of hands. Come on, man. That's, you know, so I try to give people little pounds, little fist bumps, you know. And
Max, when you go to fights, were you wearing the leather jacket?
No, I'd have a suit on.
The Fonz.
But the point is, you give 100 people fist bumps, then one person shoots out their hand for a handshake. And you just automatically
you might as well keep shaking hands.
Guys, I was once in Atlantic City, like it was maybe Gaddy fighting or Mayweather fighting, I forgot who. But I told people, hey, just give me one of these. I'm trying to shake hands, trying to stay healthy. And then one dude puts out his hand for a handshake, and I'm like, give me one of these. He goes, I'm a veteran. I fought for this country. You're not going to shake my hand? So now I just turned down 100 handshakes. What could I do? shot out my hand, shook his hand. Now everyone's giving me the side eye, who I just turned down for a handshake.
You might as well shake all the hands.
Yeah.
Now, if you shake one, you might as well just go through it. I had to do it yesterday, trust me. I was fist bumping, elbowing, everything, and the lady came up and wanted to shake my hand, and I didn't understand what she was saying at first, and she was like, oh, can I have a kiss, too? And so I gave her a little kiss on the cheek.
She
and
asked
like,
you for a kiss?
Gave her like a fake
she
hug.
She asked you for a kiss?
Yes, you didn't see that? Evan was right there.
Oh, I saw her try to tickle the middle of your back.
Ladies are not.
To tickle the middle of your back.
Ladies are more hygienic than men, I think. You could shake a lady's hand. It's fine. She's taking care of things. Guys, it's disgusting.
It wasn't a kiss. It was more of a lean hug.
It was like,
no, it was
we're
a
going
hug.
To a men's room. Come on, guys. Wash your hands, for crying out loud.
Absolutely. I've seen people walk in the restroom, do their deal, and then leave.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.